Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
All right, well, let's go on to the message. If you can go pull up the full first slide. Would you stand with me as we read the scripture and go to the Lord in prayer? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 41, Jesus speaking a simple text and instruction to us. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today, and I just thank you again for the opportunity to be in this church. God, I pray you would strengthen this church. I pray you would give them vision that's outward as well as the things they need to do in the house inward. And so bless them, strengthen them, and use them. As we look into your word today, Lord, would you open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, our hearts to receive. Bless the preaching of your word, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. The title of my message, you can go to the next slide, the title of my message is A Life of Excellence. And I want to talk to you today about a life of excellence, about being a person of excellence. This is an important issue for our lives, personally, as well as a church, as well as missionally. When we go to be a missionary, when we go on the field, we want to be a person of excellence. Amen? We want to reflect Jesus. And we have a lot of struggles to deal with sometimes. We don't have as nice a facility as you have. So we struggle sometimes with presenting that, but we want to be a person, a place of excellence. We want to present Jesus that way, and so I hope in your life you do also. Jesus wants us to go beyond just living that average life, but being a different kind of person in the world today and being a person of excellence. He didn't save us to remain the same, but he saved us to change us. He wants us to be that person that reflects him, that reflects that character. You don't have to do anything to come to the Lord. And if you've come today and you're thinking, well, I can't be a Christian. I'm a drunk or I'm a drug addict or a prostitute or unemployed or whatever your hang-up or problem or lack might be, you don't have to change anything. You just come to Jesus. Amen? And he's the one that'll fix you and fix you up and help you in life. But you don't have to change to come to Jesus. But when you come to Jesus, you come to Jesus because you need change. Amen? If you don't need change, then I guess you don't come to Jesus. But we come to the Lord because we do need to change. And so when we come, we should open our hearts. And listen, once the Lord saves you and changes you, don't give up and say, well, he changed me 20 years ago. He still wants to change you today. Can I get an amen? Is everybody in here, you still got some room in your life for change? Yeah. Well, this side does. I know the perfect side's over here. No, we all got room, amen? I love this scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new what? He's a new creature, amen. Old things are passing away. All things are becoming new. It's an ongoing change. It's not just you come to the altar and immediately all the old is gone and all the new has come. But it's an ongoing life process of change. That the Lord wants to continually work in your life. Do you remember that old song, something about he's not finished with me yet? I'm not going to sing it for you, but but it's very true. Amen? He's not finished with me yet. And one area where he wants to bring change into our life is this area of excellence. That we don't settle for mediocrity. That we're not minimalists. We don't do what's just necessary, but we look at what the Lord wants us to do. Amen? But unfortunately in life, we get influenced by the outside world that says only do what's required. At the most, get away with a little bit if you can. But Jesus calls us to a higher calling. Look at this scripture again, Matthew 5:41. He says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, what does he say? Do the minimal and try and get by with 0.9? He says, go an extra mile. Go with them 2 miles. So Jesus is telling us more than that. He's telling us live a life of excellence. This story comes out of an issue that the Jews face in Jesus' day, that a Roman soldier could commission any Jew to carry his pack for them. So he'd take off his pack and give it to the Jew, and the Jew was required to carry it a mile. And here's what would happen. The Jew didn't want to do it. The Jew's getting interrupted. He's on his way to do something in his own life, his business or his family. And here his day has to get interrupted because the soldier grabs him and says, carry my pack, and he'd carry it. And the Jews calculated how many steps it would take to walk a mile. And so he's not talking to the soldier, he's counting. One step, two step, three step. And when he gets to whatever it might be, 1,700 steps, I don't know, he takes off that pack and throws it in the dirt and walks away. And Jesus is telling us, as followers of Jesus, amen, don't do that. He comes along and says, you're the light of the world. You're the children of God. You're supposed to act and live differently. Stop acting like the world. And so, as Christians, I believe when Jesus gave us this little simple instruction, what he expected from us is now that you're going 2 miles, you don't really have to count anymore. Amen? You're going to exceed the minimal requirement, so you don't have to count. You don't have to measure your time or your steps. You just walk with him. And now that you're walking with him, you no longer have to count. You can talk to him. And you can start telling him about how God loves him. And it doesn't matter what he's done in his life or how many people he's killed or what his government makes him do, that God still loves him. Amen? And when you get done, you don't have to throw that pack in the dirt. You can take it off and put it on him, pat him on the back, say a prayer for him, and send him on his way with a blessing. Amen? This is what Jesus is telling in that little short verse, is have a life that does something different than what everyone else in the world is doing or is expected. Now you might be saying today, wow, praise the Lord, I live in Bedford, Indiana. There's no Roman soldiers. There's nobody making me do this. This doesn't apply to me. I'm off the hook. But there's something much larger, much deeper than just the Roman soldier. That he wants, go to the next slide, he wants us to live this life of excellence. He wants this not to apply to simply going an extra mile with a Roman soldier, but that we take that principle and it's applied to all of our life, in everything we do. Amen? Go to the next slide. This has become such a common scripture in the world, apart from Christianity, that everyone knows this phrase now, go the extra mile. Look at this, it's never crowded. Isn't that awesome? Go home today and Google the extra mile. You'll find infinite kind of slogans and things like this. Go to the next one. I think it's Zig Ziglar. He says there's no traffic jams on the extra mile. So this is a biblical principle that has gone into the world, and yet even though it's out there in the world, it's no longer our secret kind, it's out there in the world, there's very few people obeying it. In the church or out of the church. You can go to the next slide, it's our title slide. This principle, the extra mile, is of excellence for every area of your life. If work starts at 8 a.m., what time should you be there? 8:15, right? No. No, we should be there at 7:45, amen? If work ends at 5, we shouldn't be out the door at 4:45 or even 4:49. We should be making sure the job is done, not worrying about the clock. Now, I don't want anybody in here being abused, but I think in America that's highly unlikely to happen with all of our laws around employees and things. But it doesn't hurt you to hang out an extra 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, to make sure the job is done and done well. Go to the next slide. There's a real problem in America today, and it's waste in the workplace. Forbes did a study, and they found out that the average time wasted at work is 31%. People are coming in late. People go around and greet everybody. People get immediately on their computer or device, check their Facebook, check their email, and they're wasting, on average, 31% of their workday. Some of you are saying, wow, I got to start wasting more time. But listen, if you have an 8-hour work shift, 31% is roughly 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours wasted. Now listen, if you're guilty of that, you can come to the altar at the end of service. Amen? If you're guilty of that, number one, it's taking from your employer 2.5 hours that he paid you for. Amen? But listen to me closely. That's not the biggest problem. You're not robbing from your employer. You're robbing from yourself. You're missing 2.5 hours that you have to outwork everybody else. Are you catching that? That if you would go in and work the whole time, you have 2.5 hours above everyone else working to outshine them. So that you're the one that gets the promotion. So that you're the one that shines at the workplace. Amen? Hallelujah. You say, it doesn't happen on my workplace. I'm union, can't get a promotion. Listen, the Word of God says promotion comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from a union contract. It doesn't even come from your employer. It comes from the Lord. So here's the other thing. Don't worry about cheating the employer. Don't worry about even cheating yourself. But the Bible says you're cheating God because it says when we go to work, we should work as unto the Lord. Amen? And so when you go to work, be a different kind of person. Even if people make fun of you. Even if the whole culture says, no, cheat and be lazy and hide out. Don't do it. Be a different kind of person because you will begin to set a standard of excellence and a standard that you are a follower of Jesus, that you are different than everyone else. Go to the next slide. What is excellence when we begin talking about this? The simplest definition is, go to the next slide, is superior, better than average. So when we say superior, it's not a superior attitude or better than average. It's not a better than, I'm better than them. It's a, in a sense, more than. So if you work 8 hours and everyone else is cheating by 2.5 hours, you're superior. You're better than average. Let me tell you today, average isn't in the middle. Average is very low. It's not hard to beat average. Go to the next slide. Doing more than expected. This is the definition of excellence. So it's not hard. You might be sitting there today going, oh, Pastor Chris, that's so hard. I can't live an excellent life. You can live an excellent life. All you do is do more than expected of you. Go the extra mile. Do a little more. Show up a little early. Leave a little bit late. It's actually very easy to do, and it's very easy to beat average. You can go to the next slide. My dad set a good example for me. He was a man of excellence. He was up every day at 5 o'clock, off to work. He was a worker, kind of mechanic. He was an electronics guy for Eastern Airlines and just sharp in every area of his life. His garage was clean. His car was clean. His clothes were always neat. He really set a good example for me of an excellent life. And even this is where he died. He was in a nursing home. And even in a nursing home, I'd go in and he's always dressed sharp. You know, he's never messy. His room's never messy. Everything's always put up in his room. I've been a little messy in my life at times, but he set a really good example of a life of excellence. And are you setting a good example for your kids, your grandkids, your family? Are you being different? You can go to the next slide. When I joined the Navy, because of this and my upbringing and my father, I actually found it easy to succeed in the Navy. This is the ship I served on, USS Boone. And I found that so many young men my age, when they went in the Navy, they really struggled with things and they pushed against what was required of them. And I simply exceeded what was required. So it's like you have to get a haircut, right? And when you're in those early days in the Navy, when you're first in, all the guys are pushing against it, right? They grow their hair just as long as they can. I went in every week and had my head shaved. Every week, every Friday, shaved my head. I didn't want to measure in my hair, checking my ears if my hair's touching my ears. Just shave it. Why? I didn't want them checking. I wanted to be excellent. I wanted to be above. I wanted to be beyond those things. And same with the uniform, same with everything in life. And so I found it easy to succeed there. I went up 5 pay grades in 4 years, and usually unheard of. But again, God is the one who promotes us. Amen? And so if we will do excellence. Excellence is not doing what is expected of you. And this is an attitude we gain from the world, that we're only going to do what's expected of us. And if there's something to be done at the workplace and it's not my job, I'm not going to do it. That's somebody else's job. Now, some of you in union places, that might be a rule. You're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to take somebody's job. I understand those things. But we should always be looking for ways we can help and be a blessing and even bless our employer. And if you're not happy at work, don't have the attitude, I'm going to do the minimum. Have the attitude, I work for the Lord. And things will begin to change in your life. Amen? But if you try and have that minimalistic idea, I'm only going to do the minimum, Not, you're just not shorting yourself and your employer. You're just shorting the potential for God to bless you in life. And so begin to look around your work and say, what can I do and how can I bless my employer? And that blessing will begin flowing to you. Look at this next slide, what Jesus said in Luke 17. So you too, when you have done all things which are commanded to you, you should say, oh, I've done a good job. Hallelujah. What did Jesus say? You too, when you've done all things that are commanded of you, you've done what's required of you. He said, you should say, we are unworthy slaves. We've only done that which we ought to have done. You see, God expects more of you. God expects more of you. And so when you go back to work this Monday, tomorrow, I want you to go back with a changed heart, changed attitude. Amen. And it's not just work, but it's also your family. It's your church. Everything we need to apply an attitude of excellence. Amen. And so I want to encourage you to look at your life this morning and ask that question. Where is there area in my life for excellence to increase? If any of you say, oh, I'm a perfectionist. In fact, how many of you would say that today? Oh, Pastor Chris, I got this down. I'm a perfectionist. Nobody wants to admit it. Not a single one in the balcony. All right, praise the Lord. One perfectionist in the house, that's it? All right. One perfectionist, two. There must be 10 or 20 liars. Okay, that's a, all right. Hallelujah. Well, listen, if you're a perfectionist, it's not always a bad thing, but in most circumstances it is, and I think that's why you're a little bit sheepish to want to raise your hand. Because, you know, down deep, that it's really not a good personality trait. It's a problem that you really need to work on. So I want to encourage those of you that are perfectionists not to use that as an excuse and say, well, I am excellent because I'm a perfectionist, because the perfectionist mindset isn't really excellence. It often leads us to laziness, procrastination, and fear. Because we have to, I'll talk to those three perfectionists, wherever you were, because you have to redo your work over and over and over again. And you're wasting time, not intentionally, you're working hard, but you're wasting your time because that time could be better used for something else. And so excellence isn't this idea of getting everything perfect and I'm going to do it over and over and over and over again until I get it just right. But excellence is really about taking action, not procrastinating, not delaying, but providing the highest quality that is reasonably possible. And perfectionism in many people's lives leads into an excuse, especially on the workplace, because they're not getting the report they need or they're not getting the work done because you're judging it as not good enough. So I want to encourage the perfectionists to the three of you and any others in here. If that's plaguing you, put that down today, that you want to live a life of excellence, but don't embrace this idea of perfectionism. Another excuse for excellence in our lives is someday I'll. You can go to the next slide. How many of you? Oh, that's the perfectionist. We missed that slide. So that's for those three. If that's you, today you don't need that. See, if your lawn looks like that, just leave it looking like that. However, most of the lawns in Indiana are like this guy, right? All right, go to the next slide. Someday I'll be excellent. How many of you live on someday I'll? Someday I'll do this, someday I'll do that. Someday I'll doesn't exist. And so sometimes we say, someday I'll be excellent. Yeah, I don't work good at my job now because I hate my job. When I get the job I want, then I'm going to be that excellent person you're talking about, Pastor Chris. No. Be that excellent person even on the bad job. Amen? You might say, oh, when I get the car that I like, then I'll wash it, I'll keep it clean, keep it maintenance, but this is just a piece of junk, so I just drive it and it looks like junk. You might say, oh, when I get the house of my dreams, then I'll keep it clean and make it look nice. But this, I don't like this house, so I just let it go to pot. No, there's no someday I'll. Because whatever you are, even if you get increase in your life, you'll still be just as sloppy and just as disrespectful of the things and the job and the employer. It only exists in your mind. Go to the next slide. If you're going to be excellent today. Amen? If you're going to be excellent, embrace it today and begin being an excellent person as Jesus calls you to be. And go to the next slide. Luke 16, he says, he who is faithful or excellent in a very little thing is also excellence in much. And he who's unrighteous or unexcellent in a very little thing, he's also going to be unexcellent, unrighteous in much. And so even in the little areas of your life, you need to examine today. And you may be excellent in one part of your life, but not in another. So I really want you to have a time as we close in prayer a little later to examine that. You can go to the next slide. To examine, are you being a person of excellence? Because you might be very excellent in one part, but not the other. If you're excellent on the bad job, that's how you get promoted. Amen? When you're excellent with the old junky car, that's when you get a new one or a nicer one. When you're excellent with the rental property, then you'll be excellent with a house of your own. Hallelujah. You can go to the next slide. Maybe you don't have everything you want in life, but I would encourage you to have an attitude of gratitude and an attitude of excellence. This picture is an amazing picture. This happened this past year. A guy in South Africa, their country's going through some problems, wanted to have prayer. And so he called out through all the Christian avenues, would people come for prayer? And a farmer opened up his farm so that people could come out and spend a day in prayer together of all different Christian faiths. 1.5 million people showed up. Isn't that amazing? We might should do that in Bedford, amen? Get somebody's farm and not for the, what's the thing going on, boogie? We don't need to boogie. But to have people come together for prayer. What a beautiful thing. But here's the beautiful thing that I want to tell you. It's when this is all over. You see, there's a big stage and a big bandstand, big speaker, so everybody could hear. When it's all over, the announcer got up to dismiss everybody, and he said, listen, we're using somebody's farm, somebody's personal property. And so we have to take down all this equipment and stuff, and we don't want to have to clean this farm. So would you, if there's any paper around you, anything at all, would you make sure you pick everything up and take it away? And when the farmer came the next morning, he said he couldn't find a single scrap of paper on that entire farm. Hallelujah. That's the miracle that took place in that place. A spirit of excellence fell on those people. Can you imagine? Because when you're in a crowd like that, what is your natural human thought? There's a piece of paper. Somebody else will get it. There's a piece of paper. I didn't drop it. Right? But that was just for me. That was just such a moving miracle that farmer came out. And he came out prepared to work that day thinking he was going to have to clean that stuff up. And there wasn't a single piece of paper left. David was just a boy when he was anointed the king of Israel, and he had to go back into his fields to tend sheep. And for 13 years, he tended sheep. And you know what? I don't think David tended those sheep and said, what's the deal? I'm supposed to be king and let the sheep run off. But he tended them with great excellence before he was promoted king. We don't have to read it today, but in Jeremiah 18, if you're taking notes, it's a story about the potter and the clay, and it's talking about Israel and how the clay is in the potter's hand, and when it wasn't the way he wanted, well, then he just kind of crushed it, and he reshaped it and remolded it. In our lives, sometimes we're just going around and around and around, and we've got maybe the same job or the same house, and we say, we hear what you're saying, Pastor Chris, but, you know, trust that the Lord's hand is on your life. Amen? And he's shaping you, and he's molding you. And be a person of excellence that he doesn't have to push you down and start over. Amen? Let him shape you and mold you into that person of excellence. It's slow, it's a process, but commit to a life of excellence. Excellence is something we should take into every area of our life, and it's not something we take on or take off, but something that should permeate everything we do. And as I was saying, I think in our lives, if we really will examine our lives this morning, you'll find some areas of my life are very excellent, right? Maybe on the workplace you are, but maybe not in the home. Maybe not in your marriage. Maybe not in other relationships you have. And so I want to encourage you to take that on in every area of your life, from the simplest things to the greatest things. How many of you, before you came to church today, you got up out of bed and you made your bed? This side's excellent. All right, hallelujah, few of you. But even a simple task like that should challenge our hearts, amen? I don't know if you've seen this video. You can play that video. Nice video off of YouTube I found.
Every morning in SEAL training, my instructors, who at the time were all Vietnam veterans, would show up in my barracks room and the first thing they'd do was inspect my bed. If you did it right, the corners would be square, the covers would be pulled tight, the pillow centered just under the headboard, and the extra blanket folded neatly at the foot of the rack. It was a simple task, mundane at best, but every morning we were required to make our bed to perfection. It seemed a little ridiculous at the time, particularly in light of the fact that we were aspiring to be real warriors, tough, battle-hardened SEALs. But the wisdom of this simple act has been proven to me many times over. If you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. It will give you a small sense of pride, and it will encourage you to do another task, and another, and another. And by the end of the day, that one task completed will have turned into many tasks completed. Making your bed will also reinforce the fact that the little things in life matter. If you can't do the little things right, you'll never be able to do the big things right. And if by chance you have a miserable day, you will come home to a bed that is made, that you made. And a made bed gives you encouragement that tomorrow will be better. So if you want to change the world, start off by making your bed.
Amen. So if you make your bed in the morning, even if the day goes to pot, at least you've done one thing right. Amen. Hallelujah. So tomorrow, how many of you are going to make your bed? There's still some rebellious ones. But I hope you will. I hope you'll embrace that simple task, because even that leads to a life of excellence and a life that God rewards. So why live a life of excellence? And that is number one. Excellence is rewarded. The first reward of excellence is excellence itself. That you know you did what you did, and you did it correctly. You're proud of your work, and you have a sense of accomplishment in life. When you live the minimalistic life, you don't have a sense of accomplishment. You feel like a slave being used by other people. But when you live a life of excellence, there is a reward just of being excellent. The second reward of excellence is promotion. Excellence is impossible to hide. Don't be excellence for one day, but live a life of excellence, and it cannot be hidden. You will get the job. You will get the raise. You will get the promotion. Amen? Go to the next slide. It's from Daniel chapter 6. Daniel 6, verses 1 through 3 from the Message Bible. It says, Darius organized his kingdom. He appointed 120 governors to administrate all the parts of his realm. Over them were three vice regents, one of whom was Daniel. The governors reported to the vice regents, who made sure everything was in order for the king. But Daniel, brimming with spirit, brimming with excellence and intelligence, look at this line, so completely outclassed the other vice regents and governors that the king decided to put him in charge of the whole kingdom. Somebody say hallelujah. This is the reward of excellence. And I use the Message Bible because I like this word. He's so completely outclassed. That doesn't mean that he was better than them. We're all the same in God's eyes. But he did better than them because he was committed to a life of excellence. He was brimming with spirit or with excellence. The third reward of excellence is pleasing Jesus, because it's being like Jesus. He was a person of excellence. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. I believe Jesus was saying for us to be an excellent disciple. Look at this verse in Mark 7:37. It says, they were utterly astonished, saying, he has done all things well. Hallelujah. It describes that then. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. But he does all things well. Go to the next slide. Even in the resurrection, there's this picture that's displayed in the Bible, and I've never even heard anybody preach on it. I think we could do a whole sermon on it. But it is a picture of a life of excellence. That when the disciples came to the tomb, the best I could find out studying, reading people who know, you know, the Greek and the Hebrew and study all this stuff out, that when they found the linen cloth that had wrapped his body, it had not, in a sense, been disturbed. It was still like a cocoon. Jesus had been taken out and it fell in its place. And that was to give forth the message to us that he wasn't taken, that he vanished. Amen? He didn't take that and roll it up and throw it in the corner somewhere, but he vanished. He came through the material, and the material fell. So the material remained. Then the second item that was found was the part that went around his head. In the scriptures, in the English, it usually refers to it as a napkin. And that was taken off, and it says it was folded and put in a different place. So like, say, Jesus' body was here, he vanished, but he took the head cloth, he took it off, he folded it, and he set it down in a different place. Why did Jesus go to that trouble? I think it was so when the disciples did come in and they found it, they knew no one has stolen Jesus. He's been resurrected, amen. And then when they saw the head garment over here folded up neatly, and they said, well, he wasn't in a hurry to leave either, amen. He took the time. There was nobody chasing him. There was nobody dragging him off. He took the time to fold up that head garment and set it down. You got time to make your bed, amen. He took the time to do that to show he's the king. He's the resurrected one. Hallelujah. He's not worried about the Roman guards that are outside the tomb. But he folded that up, set it aside to give us that message. Excellence creates growth in your life. Carol and I constantly, drives our daughter crazy when she's traveling with us. We listen to podcasts and books. She's like, oh, do we have to listen to that again? But we do that because we want a life of excellence. Amen? We're not done. We're not done growing. We're not done changing. And if you live a life of excellence, you want to change. You want to grow. You want to stretch. You want to be somebody different tomorrow than you are today. Go to the next slide, and I'm going to close in just a minute. How many of you know where this is? When you think of Disney, do you think of excellence? I do. I don't know. If you've ever visited the park, everything's neat, tidy, in order. You know, things are done very, very well there, very efficiently. But here's an amazing thing. Disney has full-time employees that their entire job is to scrape gum. Is that amazing? Because they have a high level of excellence, and they don't want you to come to the park and step in gum or get gum when you go through rides on your hands where people place them under rails. That they pay people full time to run around the park looking for gum that people who lack excellence just spit out wherever they wanted to. It's amazing. Thank you, Susan. That is good. We need to reflect that same kind of excellence. You'll develop, again, just in closing, you're going to develop excellence in different ways in different parts of your life. You can go to the next slide. This is normal. You may be excellent at home, but a mess at work, or vice versa. And so I want you to look, as we close this morning, at your life and be honest with yourself. And if you say, listen, Pastor Chris, I am excellent at work, praise the Lord. I'm not here to condemn you. But are you excellent in every area of your life? Maybe it's not something like making your bed or cleaning your car, but it might just be how you treat your spouse. Are you treating them with excellence? If you have children, are you being an excellent dad, an excellent mom? Are you doing your best? Sometimes it's hard, but all it's required of you is do your best. Amen? But are you doing your best? Are you just frustrated and just saying, forget it? Well, I want to encourage you this morning not to do that. Take a fresh look at your life. Take a fresh look at your relationships and see. And so today, as we close in prayer, I want to ask you that question. We're going to close, and I want to give you just a minute to pray. But what area of your life can you commit to the Lord today? Because remember one of our first scriptures, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passing away. All things are becoming new. What part of your life today can you put on the altar, say, this needs to pass away. I need to commit to a life of excellence. Amen?